Scene Mom says, welcome to the new podcast from former Phoenix radio host Danny Cutler. Each week, bringing you independent music, industry news, the occasional interview, and other fun segments. Let's get to it.
Welcome, you've got mail. Goodbye.
Scene Mom says, welcome to episode 8. That was Daphne and the Glitches with one of their very first singles, Outgoing Mail. And I chose them specifically because they are playing the vinyl release show with my upcoming interview. And the interview is with Phoenix band Chrome Rhino, who are about to release their second album on vinyl on March the 1st. It was really great to catch up with a couple of members of the band, talk about their creative process on this album, and answer what is a very big deal when you have a limited independent band budget, and that is, why vinyl? I also want to remind you that I do now have merch available. Right now on Threadless, there is a 20% off discount, and I've also set up a shop with the items that I use via Amazon. I will have a link with all the details in the show notes. Really appreciate your support as it helps me continue to support independent music. All right, that's enough from me. Let's get to the interview.
I don't trust this kid any further than I can throw him.
Well, with your bad knee, Ed, you shouldn't throw anybody.
What is so dangerous about a character like Ferris Bueller is he gives good kids bad ideas.
Uh-huh.
Last thing I need at this point in my career is 1,500 Ferris Bueller disciples running around these halls. He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
This is the Scene Mom Says podcast with your host, Danny Cutler. You can send any feedback to scenemomsays@gmail.com.
All right. Welcome to the Scene Mom Says podcast. And I'm very excited because I have another interview and it's with some very lovely people that I definitely miss from living in Phoenix. I have got James and Travis from Chrome Rhino. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hi. We miss you. Hug to the screen.
I miss you guys, too. How are you?
We are doing all right.
You're like, well, that's a charged question.
Yeah. You heard the like reticence when he said it.
That was a bit of a sigh, as I said.
There was an ellipses at the end of that, and also a question mark. We're doing great, though. We're doing. Yeah. We're very, very thankful and very happy to be on your amazing podcast, which we've listened to, and we love you. And yeah, we're excited to talk to you.
Thank you for having us.
You know, when I saw you had another album coming out, and just, you know, based on what I know about the first one, and we will get to that, I was like, oh, I have to talk to them about this album because you two are the whole band, so creative and just, you know, innovative. I mean, innovative is a good word when it comes to Chrome Rhino because you guys, it's okay. The best way to describe your music for me is you feel like you've heard it before, but you haven't heard it before.
Oh, okay. That's a lovely compliment.
That's amazing.
You know, it is. It's like, okay, it's familiar, but it's like, no, this is new and this is exciting. So.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you.
We'll have to quote you on that. Lovely.
Hey, do it. I just stick that on your website, guys.
Yeah, embroider that on my cushion. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get into the new album and everything, for any new listeners to the show out there, let's give some background on Chrome Rhino. How did it all come together?
The name's been around for quite a while because Travis and I we were in a different band at the time in Virginia, playing bars and doing some rock music there. And Travis had all of these kind of electro poppy kind of songs that he was working on, and so you know we're just like, okay, let's package these all together and came up with this little logo, and we're like, okay, you know, it's okay, big shiny Chrome Rhino, how about that, you know, just package them together for a while and kind of used it for little odds and ends, and it was just kind of the leftovers sort of draw for a while. When we moved out here, we had been talking to Jared, who we had met just working in the Phoenix music scene, and He was interested in, you know, sitting down and working with us on them. And as we were kind of teaching him the songs, he would, you know, have some really cool suggestions of just like, oh, well, how about we, you know, make this little key change right before the guitar solo? Or how about, you know, I see that you're going to this chord. What if we throw this chord in the middle? And little things like that. And we're like, yeah, like that a lot. And And then in the midst of learning those, you know, I would be, you know, making a cup of tea or something, and I'd hear Jared and Travis just working on this little weird bass line kind of thing. And that turned into the song Swamp Daddy. And just like, I was like, oh, what's that? You know, let's let's put some chords on that. Let's do that. So it was very much kind of organically was like, well, I think we've got more than a few songs here, guys. It sounds like we've got an album, and we all seem to have mostly songs about monsters, so let's just kind of keep going with that. And yeah, and before we knew it, we had an album's worth of songs. And you know, we had a drummer friend at the time who wanted to play with us. We're like, let's see how this goes.
If you go black, love, blue. coming back.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love when it all just kind of comes together. And yes, Jared, who's your keyboardist, and he does some vocals too, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, another amazing creative artist and so super talented as well. So
he's a I would say a musical genius, you know, because we all played in Alley A in the agency for a long time. That's how we met Jared at Rogue Bar, rest in peace, like doing an open mic for Alley A. I don't know if you were there for that one.
I remember I saw him. He was playing a version of Steve Miliband's The Joker.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and he was doing like this really cool kind of jazzy rendition of it. And we were just so impressed that he'd kind of repurposed this song we all knew. But he speaks music in a very fluent, very deep way. And Travis and I come from a very different kind of barroom kind of
bluesy,
you know, very simplistic sort of approach. And he's really been able to kind of meet us halfway and kind of bring us along with his ideas. And I think there's a bit of cross-pollination going on there as well. I think we there's a lot of good creative tension, we'll say that.
Oh, for sure. Well, see, Jared can get all of that stuff out in a casual divorce. So
very true. Yes, that's 100%.
You want eclectic jazz? Listen to A Casual Divorce.
Oh, and they do such cool stuff as well. Yeah, incredible. He gets to tick all of his jazz boxes for sure in that band, definitely.
Yeah, but it works so well with you guys. I mean, all of you just clicked, and you got Jay, and I mean, it's just it just all seemed to come together like stars aligned. And
it was. And speaking of musical geniuses, Jay is.
Jay speaks Jared's language for sure.
They know things that we don't know, and they can speak about those things intelligently. And Jay has perfect pitch. So like we actually had practice two nights ago, and we were talking about something, and we're like, you know, Jay, did we hit that right? He was like, no, I don't think you did. And just to let you know, I hear everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, what a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah, poor guy must need earmuffs.
But he's an amazing keyboard player and drummer. He's a legend. You've got
all the pieces. It's so perfect. Yeah, people with perfect pitch. Yeah, they, oh man. I mean, I grew up classical music and orchestras and all that. So yeah, when I'm around somebody who's like, I have perfect pitch, I'm like scared to death and I'll never play in front of them.
Oh, scary. Wow. Well, yeah. And you're playing viola, right? I can imagine that's hard on your ears.
That's too much pressure. I can't, it's already pressure enough playing Mozart. You know, you think I'm going to, no.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So your first album, I Think They're After Me, that came out in what, 2019, I believe?
Well,
right before the time we will not talk about.
Yeah.
Well, we did. We were kind of finishing it right before the time of which we will not speak. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, it was in the can, luckily, you know, just days before we were unable to get back into the studio. So we formally released it.
I think March 2021. Because we tracked everything. And then Bob Hogue, shout out Bob Hogue, Flying Blanket. We
love
you,
Bob. Too.
The best. Oh, we love that man. We finished tracking everything. I flew back to Virginia. He went to Disneyland. And right as all that was happening, they were talking about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you can say it. I was just kidding. Okay. It was the pandemic. You can say it.
I don't want to say it. You know, and then it was, you know, that week, you know, we were gone for a week. We came back and it was like, oh, things are locked down. It's here. It's serious.
Yep.
And so he just went, you know, he mixed it all and sent us tracks.
It was all remote.
Yeah. Cause we were all, James and I lived together, but then Jared was, you know, by himself and we finished it all like during lockdown. So
wow.
It was really wild having this kind of escapist music that's about geeky things during this very real, scary, horrifying time. It was such a weird juxtaposition, I feel like.
Yeah, it was a very light-hearted album at the time. And it was really weird to kind of like be, you know, because it felt like, you know, Christmas morning when it was just like, okay, oh, there's a new song ready. Let's listen to this. Oh, exciting, you know. But a nice little positive moments in a very,
you know, and if you want to look at the right timing, I mean, it is what it is. The timing is what it is. But, you know, you were able to offer so many some joy and a little happiness during that time. So I know I was one of them. So
that's very thank you. Thank you.
So yeah, and being able to play it on the station there, KWSS out there in Phoenix and stuff, and bring joy to others who could not get out and actually go see you live, or, you know, you weren't able to have, you know, the big release like you're going to with this album and everything, but that's okay. You still provided a very good musical service, guys.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice to hear.
Very kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah, it did feel in a strange way that kind of escapist vibe kind of, I think it, like, especially like right when shows started back, like in 2021, and we started playing, because we didn't start playing till after vaccines, and we're like,
right,
you know, and it was, anyway.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh yeah, for sure. We were like, no, you know, and we worked with the public at the time. I worked in libraries, and I was just like, so to there was such a, I guess, like a, it was just kind of fortuitous, not the timing of how all that happened, in terms of like, because people wanted kind of an escape at that time. It's like, oh my god, we've been living in hell for this long. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I want to hear a song maybe about a zombie or a robot or this kind of fluffy kind of.
I think I know we felt definitely a bit tired of hearing about the real world for a little while, and it kind of, having that album ready at when it was, meant that by the time shows were kind of opening back up and people were just like, I know we were chomping at the bit to get out and enjoy, you know, interacting with
guys, live band. You played like 20 shows in like 2 months with these guys.
It was
every time I looked at my calendar, I'm like, oh, Cromito's playing again.
It was so wild. It was way too much.
We were. It's like we'd never eaten in like years, and we were given an all you could eat buffet.
You weren't the only one though, and I completely understand it.
Yeah. You're listening to the Scene Mom Says podcast and Danny's interview with Chrome Rhino. Let's get back to it.
So you have this second album coming out on March 1st, I think you're releasing it, correct?
Right. Yeah, yes. We're going to do a vinyl release first, and then not sure when the digital is coming out.
We're going to have it for Bandcamp people who don't have vinyl or anything like that.
Nice.
We've got our singles that are going to be out on Spotify, but the full album on Spotify, we're not sure exactly when it's the right time.
Okay. There. What's the name of the album?
These Precarious Experiments Determine What the Future Will Be. We are not into brevity.
Yeah, no.
I wanted you to say it because I do have it written down, but I didn't.
It rolls off the tongue the more you say it. Yeah.
I love it. Well, it's not as long as, I think the longest album title is by Chumbawamba.
It is. Oh, they have like a paragraph, right?
Like their entire like album cover is the name of the album. And it's insane. That's so you're not there yet.
That's true. We'll have to rise to the challenge for album three.
Yeah, album three.
Full James Joyce, stream of consciousness novel.
Oh my goodness. Then you're going to have to find a nickname for the next album. If it gets too long, you're just going to need a nickname. Just call it Travis.
Travis, I like that.
Right.
The Travis.
Be like our version of Ulysses.
Yeah. And the cover should be my face, like inquisitive, like I'm hearing all this. Or no, holding like a scroll that unwinds.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right.
I'm glad we have the album already set, your third album. We haven't even gotten to the second one yet.
Yeah. Look for your thank you in the liner notes.
That's true. That we'll give you the shout out.
Yeah.
Now we just have to convince Jared and Jay.
Right.
Too funny. Oh my goodness. Well, so this album, and thank you so much for sharing it with me. It's magnificent. Absolutely love it. This one has a little more. So your first album, Poppy, I mean, it had, it had some rock to it and stuff, but it was a little more, electronic pop, I guess it would be. Is that accurate-ish?
Yeah.
All right. This one it's a lot more guitar heavy. The second side is rock opera-ish, it just keeps going, and it's a wonderful journey, and I really enjoyed taking that journey. So good work on that. But I definitely noticed the difference in the style, in the tone. Was it a natural progression as you were creating this album and coming up with the ideas? Or was it something that you were intentionally wanting a different album?
Definitely when we started it, I know, we all kind of, okay with album one, we had a very sort of firm concept of just like, okay, it's going to be kind of like A Night at the Movies, every song's going to be its own monster and kind of lean into that. And I think we're like, okay, let's definitely step out of that for the second album. And I think the biggest difference was how those songs were written, because with album one, we kind of everyone came to the table with mostly completed songs that, we added a few extra bells and whistles on. So like Love and Bigfoot, Jared pretty much brought to us, and we all kind of added our things in, and vice versa with our songs. But with album two, it was very much all written in the room, all of us sitting together with our instruments, with Jay, which is the biggest difference probably with album two, because Jay didn't play on album one. We met him after we were, releasing and promoting that one. So having, Jay sitting with us and Jared and all of us in the same room, no COVID restrictions, any of that. We were all just like, okay, let's all just play around with this and see what we like. And then when we have, a solid melody, let's work on lyrics, and very organic. So nice. Yeah, a conscious decision, but the methods was completely different.
What is the concept? So tell me a little bit about the album.
So I've been perhaps legally required not to go too heavy-handed on the concept, because Jared and I did sit down over...
Do I need to switch to alcohol? Do I need to have a stiffer drink?
Perhaps, because I know, on a few pens and pads, Jared and I kind of hashed out what we could call a story. And say, okay, here's what's happening. And I think we all decided that it's probably not as fun if we directly say, this is the storyline, these are the plot points. So,
space, like you're creating a movie.
Yeah. Well, let's not. We yeah, we had to restrain ourselves budgetarily. But yeah, we were thinking a very desperate story of space exploration is what we were thinking. Because a lot of this was all written after COVID and it was much less optimistic for us. We were thinking, okay, we were very optimistic for album one. Album two, we're kind of looking at everything and everything seems really broken and burnt up and really not as hopeful. So we were thinking,
the world is on fire.
Yeah. So that's very much, you know, where we meet our heroes. And, you know, for one reason or another, they have to leave Earth. Yeah, that's everything else we wanted to, we decided it's better if people just kind of come up with their own little ideas of, you know, what the songs mean and what that, if there's symbolism or if that's explicit. As consumers, we all prefer that. So we wanted to leave that a little bit more open.
I like that because it's escapism, but just different than your first album, escapism. You know, I mean, the first album, you didn't even know it was going to end up being the escape that it was for you and for everyone who listens and our fans. And this one, you're intentionally going, okay, it's time to escape.
Yeah, right.
We're out of here.
Interstellar Runaway.
I always think about this, especially with smaller independent bands with very limited budget. So the question is, why vinyl? Now, the easy answer, of course, is duh. If you love vinyl and you're a vinyl fan and you love listening to it, right? I mean, it's just, you know, of course, vinyl, but it's not inexpensive. It's a very costly endeavor. And especially when you're a smaller independent band that is, you know, you're scraping by, and a lot of your own personal savings goes into creating albums, and for you to have, you know, you go into the recording studio and you're putting this together and you're doing all this top quality stuff that is not, it's not cheap, you know, we'll just lay it out there. It's not inexpensive. Is there a reason that you wanted to release it in vinyl? And same with your first album, why vinyl?
Oh, great. Well,
I know, it's a lot. It's a lot. Take a moment.
First, I would like to say thank you to Visa and American Express for financing our albums in vinyl. That was very kind of them to do. And I would just say, as a consumer, that's always something, like, ever since I was a kid and I stumbled across my parents' vinyl collection, I always really liked just kind of going through the liner notes and kind of opening it up and looking at the artwork, and it felt like a comic book almost. It was like you had this solid thing that was real and existed and felt like an extension of the music. So I've always appreciated that as a consumer, and I think all of us have that same sort of, we all want to have that extra sort of connection with the music and have a physical piece. And CDs were nice. We've done that with past bands we were in, got CDs, and yeah, that's fine, but the vinyl just looks a lot cooler. Like, especially these, like you said, they're not inexpensive, and we tried to go. We went with Burlington Record Plant for the actual vinyl.
Great company.
They're so amazing. Gosh, so good.
And yeah, they are kind of the gold standard in terms of just like really being quality and just looking and feeling like great. And we didn't want to really cut any corners. We wanted it to be something we would be proud to get as consumers as well. So I think, hopefully, and I'm talking way the lion's share about this, but something Travis used to do in his library would do like a sort of a record club, and people would sit down and like purposefully listen to an entire record and talk about it. And I think vinyl kind of encourages that kind of listen. You're gonna set away some time, maybe sit down, and you know, kind of maybe, you know, sit in the darkened room, and you're gonna kind of focus a little bit on it. And hopefully, that's what people will feel happy to do with a vinyl.
Playing vinyl records, it's not background music. You know, right. You can sit there. I can sit there at work, and I'm not gonna have vinyl, even though my player is like right there. I'm not going to put that on, because after 20 minutes, I'm going to have to flip it, number one, you know, and you miss something, you know. It's like, you can't just have it in the background when you're doing other things. You have to, I think there's an intention behind that. You know, I'm saying attention a lot, because that's really been something that I've been trying to embrace, is just being, have an intention and a reason for the things that I do. And I think music listening should have a bit of intention behind it now. It is so easy to just listen in the background while you're working, while you're driving. You know, you're always doing something else, but you're never fully focused on the one thing. And you miss so much in music just listening to it in the background. So yeah, I agree with you 100% on why vinyl. And I think this is good to talk about, because there's so many independent bands out there who are probably contemplating that kind of stuff too. Like, how do we release this baby that we just spent so much, you know, blood, sweat, and tears creating and putting out there and making a decent recording? It's like, well, it's a risk to put it on vinyl. It's a financial risk.
Sure. I think, you know, we're all album people. You know, we love just the albums. Like when you did the full album, you played a full album on your show on KWS. Like that's like, we are now I'll make playlists a lot, and like I've kind of given in to, you know, Spotify and all that.
We all do it. We all get there.
Right.
We fight it as long as we can.
It's like, you know, I love listening to, even still, like on Spotify, like I'm constantly full albums. There's just something so cool about that. expression, I think it's from the Beatles, just loving their records and listening to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think it would be so cool to do something like that.
No, so, it's great. I want this to work for you. I want this to be successful. I want you at least to break even.
We'll be so happy with just that.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, even on from the artist's point of view, not even taking into account streaming and when you release singles, you create something and you put it on a vinyl or you put out even on CD. There's an order to the songs and there's a purpose in that. An artist wants you to hear their work from start to finish. Go through all that work to create this story and you want to tell that story and you can't do it going, put this on shuffle.
Yeah. I think you were very deliberate with the song order for sure. The method that we sent it to you was completely jumbled.
That's okay. I listened to it in order.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to listen to it in order, but I want to do that justice to all artists. So even on Spotify, when there's a new album released, like Green Day just released an album, and I know we're talking about now, we're going from indie to major artists, but I listened to it from start to finish. I didn't shuffle it because I wanted to hear how they wanted to present it.
Right.
Reggie, might be maybe. You're the one who controls me, keep me feeling all right. Reggie, not complaining. But you're the one who's keeping me awake all night. Reggie, call me crazy. Saw your face in the stars and wonder how you survive. Reggie, rockin' baby. When you fell from the sky, you kept us feeling alive.
The album is being released on the 1st of March. So it's vinyl. So you're having a vinyl release show out in Phoenix. Where are you having it? I know I saw it, but I didn't write it down.
Oh, Valley Barn.
Thank you. Oh, that's a good spot.
Yeah, we're really excited to play
there. The first time we've played there, actually.
Yeah, it will be.
I can say that I have also played Valley Bar with Scattered Melodies. So.
I saw you play there at that show. Yeah.
Oh, I miss it. I love that basement bar. Oh.
Yeah, it's so fun.
So much fun. So I assume there are other bands joining you on the bill that night?
Yeah, Camilla Road and Daphne and the Glitches will be joining us.
Oh my gosh, as soon as I'm off this interview, I'm looking up flights. That's it.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. We'd be so happy.
If you want to play some viola with us, open invitation anytime.
Yeah, I'm going for work. It's work. So, you know, write the whole thing off. Yeah.
I know.
Well, that'll be so much fun. And beyond this, do you have any plans after the release, or have you not gotten that far yet? Just want to get to the release? Anything? Are you planning on doing some more shows with it, maybe a tour somewhere? I don't know.
There are rustlings and whispers of such plans. We haven't solidified 100%, but we've big ideas. We're back.
I guess this leads into, I mean, this question just popped in my head. Where do you want Chrome Rhino to go from here?
It's a very good question.
Well,
this wasn't on the list of questions.
I'm totally unprepared. I don't know what to say.
Call our lawyer.
Do a dance. I know it's a podcast. It's not a visual format, but dance. Maybe they will know.
I think for sure we want to, I just want to keep making records forever. It's just, you know, the most fun. Playing live is amazingly fun and we love it. It's a great balance, but like, I feel like we've just scratched the surface now with like this Chrome Rhino that I want to do a third record. And but I'd love to do like a regional thing. You know, we've played a couple show, we played in Tucson, played in LA and San Diego. We've done one show there, but we would like to kind of branch out. And
we met some really fun bands actually in LA and San Diego, so it'd be fun to kind of, you know, we kind of just dipped our toes in those places. Yeah, so it'd be really fun to kind of like, you know, reconnect with those bands. I think we did Vegas.
Great. I think you would do great in the Northwest, Portland, Seattle, going on up there. I think you guys would do very well up there.
We've heard that. Yeah, I've personally never been up that far at all. And I'd love to see it and experience that for sure. I just keep hearing about the music scenes out there. That would be lovely.
Yeah, it's really nice. And of course the East Coast. I have to throw in the East Coast, but you know, it's a little more of an endeavor.
Northeast would be great.
We hear good things about Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still dipping my own toes into the music scene out here. And you know, New England, I said this with Max Frost when I was talking with him. New England is kind of like one big state. So it's quite a big scene, and I'm still trying to sort it all out, I guess, you know, learn about it and meet some people. It's hard in the winter because people don't do as much in the winter around here, I've noticed. Driving is kind of a pain at times, and not knowing if you're going to have to cancel because of a snowstorm or not, you know, it's different situation. But I think once the spring comes, you know, I'll be able to really start getting to know the scene a little bit more about here. And I'm excited about it. You know, of course I am. I want to get to know. And then my mind gets all, well, this band would be great with this band I know in Phoenix and Ham, and I love this venue and I can see this band paying, you know, just goes from there. Well, I'm excited for you guys and I'm excited for this album. And like I said, I can't wait to get my hands on that purple vinyl is it the purple with the green splatter? Is that the one?
Yeah, we definitely leaned big into the colors for sure. Yeah, big on the old Joker colors.
Yeah, but that's my color. Purple's my color, so.
I guess we've been watching a lot of Incredible Hulk right before we designed the album.
No, I had no idea you were so nerdy looking at Travis's sweatshirt, which is Batman. Oh no.
I thought it had like the bat ears. It needs the bat ears.
Yeah,
I'm adding those.
We'll get the needle and thread out.
Oh, I love it. Oh, you guys, so how can people find out more about Chrome Rhino?
Well, we have a website, chromerhinomusic.com. And then all the lovely social places, if they search for Chrome Rhino, they'll find us. And, all the music places, the Spotify's, the Apple Music's, the
Tidal's,
Deezer, learning about that one as well.
YouTube.
Napster.
Yeah. probably LimeWire.
LimeWire, you can download it there if it's there all around.
I'm not even mad. You know, if they want to find it online, why go for it?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, James, Travis, it was so wonderful to see your faces and catch up. And I only see great things happening for Chrome Rhino. And I feel like this is a time. This is the time where, you know, we're now 4 years since everything shut down, right? We're going into 4 years, almost exactly, because it was like March, right?
Yeah, that's wild.
And I feel like this is coming into one of the safest times we've had since. And that's hope, you know, fingers crossed, that's only going to get better and better. And I feel like this will put you and so many other bands out there to really be in their element and do all the things that they've just been dipping their toes in. And I just see nothing but great things for Chrome Rhino.
Oh, you're the greatest, Danny. We love you so much. Thank you for having us. We just love you endlessly and forever. You're the best.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being on the show.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having us.
Say.
been listening to the Scene Mom Says podcast. Intro outro music is Look Good for the Radio by Fairy Bones. Learn more about Danny and the show at DannyCutler.com.